Thank you for joining us for this episode of Journey Now, produced by Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. For more information on Journey Church and our gatherings, visit journeytn.com.
Welcome to another Journey Now podcast. My name is Kevin. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And today we are picking up on a conversation that started on Sunday and was introduced by Mike Erie. We're still in the Upside Down Kingdom and talking today about how we handle our possessions. And we have a special guest with us today. Roberto Gonzalez is with us.
Wow, that was good.
Yep. Very special guest.
Good. Yep. He didn't roll his R's, but...
I try.
It was good.
I am... Our illustrious youth pastor has joined us for this conversation today. Thank you for joining us, Rob.
Dude, stoked to be here.
And my friend Mike across the way.
Yeah. Miguel.
I'm stoked to be here.
Yes. And so on Sunday, we began, it really is a two-parter, right?
It's a two-parter.
And it speaks more, you know, we often in these conversations focus and hone in just on money or just on certain things. But yet you took it a little broader on Sunday. You went broader. Yeah. And I appreciate that. And you created a word for me.
Yes.
Not for me. Although it felt like it was for me. and I appreciate you doing that. When you bought jeans, you came up with this word, mindness. Can you?
Yes.
Not mindness.
Mining. Yes.
But not mining like digging in the ground, a different kind of mining. And so if you could just give us a little explanation on that, because that's kind of where we want to focus our energy on this podcast.
There's an interesting set of words that Jesus uses in Luke. So we camped out in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus makes similar statements in Luke. And one of those is, you unless you give up everything that you own, you cannot be my disciple.
Right.
And then we just noted the fact that, well, people own stuff and we're disciples of Jesus. So what does he mean here? Is he just speaking hyperbolically? Is he just, you know, whatever? And as it turns out, what he was speaking against is what happens when you and I engage in like retail, where you walk into a store, and we use the example of jeans. And there are just zillions, there are a zillion pair of jeans, you know, all over the place. But I pick one, and then I engage in this appropriate sort of ritual offering. And then I confer upon the jeans a new identity. And that identity is that they're no longer any jeans. They are my jeans. I have made them mine.
Yes.
So mining is the idea that I come under something in order to confer upon it an identity that it belongs to me now. Mm-hmm. And in the process of mining, that's what Jesus seems to be speaking to.
Yeah.
There is a hidden cost.
Right.
To mining, because mining, if I'm perpetually mining things, then Jesus will say, you just don't have the power then to be my disciple, because as we all know, and whether it's time or it's our bank account balance or it's physical possessions
or even our talents,
our skills, whatever.
Yeah.
To uphold something as mine means that I'm constantly maintaining it, guarding it, you know, brandishing it. Like I have this ongoing relationship to it that sucks spiritual life and vitality out of me.
Right. And you assigned it spiritual.
Yes.
Agency.
Spiritual weight.
Weight.
Yes.
And assigning that.
Well, Jesus does, right? Because he calls it mammon, not just money.
Right.
He calls it mammon.
Right. And so with that, I don't think we grasp how our economy is a spiritual entity environment.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's not neutral.
And it can be used for good or bad.
That's right.
So it's not like it has
it has spiritual power.
Right. And I think that is a news flash for people.
Yeah. Oh, for me, for sure.
Because we don't attach spiritual power to that like we should.
But if we lose our luggage or someone breaks in and steals stuff, like there's something that's more than just
we own our mindness goes Yeah. We lose our minds.
Yes.
There's something to that.
Right.
Yeah. There's
is there something, because I know jeans don't really matter to you. Like that is not, it's facts. A weird example for you to use yeah, jeans because
it was like, a total hypothetical.
Like if you were to use your flip flops, I would have been there with you. But the jeans, I was like, are those even your jeans?
No, they're not. They were all Justies.
But I know you used the example of your truck.
Yes.
Are there other things that
I'm not,
I know you said you practice minimalism, which is actually kind of cool.
Well, I'm working on it.
Or you're working on it.
Working
that.
On it. But so for me, I realized as I was sort of in the midst of this, like physical possessions aren't a huge deal for me.
Yeah.
We've, my wife and I have been, by God's mercy, able to give away minivans and cars and computers and just stuff.
And we have one in the parking lot.
We have a van that's here waiting.
Yeah, anybody?
Seriously.
Anybody?
Preemptively.
Just need to get a new title. Yeah, that's so true. Thank you for letting me park it here.
Sorry.
For the last months.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Anybody need a Honda Odyssey out there?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Honda Odyssey needs a little work. We just need a title. But all that is to say, so I realized it's not stuff for me that I'm mining, but it's what... it's what the stuff brings into my life. That's what I mind. So things like comfort, mm-hmm. convenience,
right.
security, time is another thing that I'm very possessive of. Mining, we can just restrict it to possessions. And obviously we all relate to that. But for me, it was more insidious.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just this, hey, give away your clothes. Oh, fine. I mean, I don't have a lot. We rent our house and we've moved houses so often. I don't get attached to houses.
Right.
The contrast in earlier in the talk was between an old truck that had everything wrong with it and that you didn't care about versus a brand new truck. And I was introduced to like the idea of parking far away, of like, you know, judging people for driving worse sorts of cars and parking next to me, you know, that sort of thing. And the anxiety of my kids spilling stuff. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, I was much happier.
When I had that old one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was much happier and more at peace.
Yes.
And so at what point does it own me versus do I own it? That was that was the point of that.
Yeah.
And there's a spiritual component to it.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, and one of the things we really haven't talked about is the reality is none of it, what happens to all that stuff when we die? What happens to, you know, do you need six pair of jeans?
My vast estate will go to my children, who will then invest it in crypto and lose it all.
Can you invest flip-flops into crypto? Is that a thing?
Yes. Well, yeah, it is. Yeah.
I have two pairs of flip-flops. All right.
Wouldn't it be
formal and
informal?
Wouldn't it be funny though?
That's exactly right.
To go over and look at his closet, and there's like a wall of flip-flops, just this wall.
There's some I don't even touch. I have Jordan flip-flops.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, I do not. I have two pairs of
Jordan,
flip-flops.
Jordan flip-flops.
I have dress flip-flops and pool flip-flops.
And Rob would have Kobe flip-flops.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Let's talk about Rob for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how were you? So how old are you?
35. I think.
Okay, so you're kind of a boomer.
It's okay. It changes every year.
Kind of a boomer.
I'm an old millennial.
Okay.
I'm one of the oldest sets of millennials.
Nice. Okay, well, God bless you.
I'm an old millennial.
I am.
God bless you.
Cheers.
So, and did you grow up in church?
Yes. Somewhere around the age of like 6 or 7, but it was my mom, who I hope is not listening. She did it to find a man. So that's why we went.
Listen, every junior high boy out there understands that, how that works.
Yeah, because she was a single mom with three kids.
Heck
so
yeah.
Right.
What you better place?
Go gotta find good men somewhere.
Yeah, what better place
there
to find
There was no
a...
Tinder.
No, no.
No.
He had to think about it for a minute, though. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what were the messages that you received at home and at the church about money, debt, possessions?
I don't remember a thing... church-wise in terms of like messaging when it came to possessions or money. Part of it is I was just younger back then.
As opposed to now.
Yeah. As opposed to now.
Yeah.
And I think just different worlds, like being in Southern California versus being here is just completely different. And so when it came to things like money or possessions, like the messaging about that value system didn't start in like schools when it started, and more like high school. Mm. So I grew up in Santa Barbara, California. It's a very, very affluent place.
Most parts.
I mean,
not every part.
Most of it is very affluent.
Yeah.
And so I didn't. Like, here's the one of the biggest culture shocks when it came to money was, like, I had all these friends growing up in elementary and high or middle school. And then when we got to high school, what I begin to see the distance in us when it came to finances, because, like, everyone turned 16. And now all of my friends who were just like me now all were driving and driving Beamers and G-Wagons and Audis. And I'm like,
yay.
Like, I couldn't.
Kevin's in.
I'm in.
I didn't know that they were as rich as they were until that moment.
Right.
That's when all of a sudden it became.
And again, mom, single mom
of
three, we were on food stamps. Like, we would get food from our aunts who would just, and it was like government food. Like, literally, I remember the cans of beef that just said beef on it. With a picture of a cow.
Yeah. Big blocks of cheese.
Yeah.
But some of that cheese is decent.
Wow.
Well, you're from up north. I don't know if that's true.
It is. Yeah, I mean,
well, Minnesota and Wisconsin kind of have the market on cheese. So even
Pennsylvania does too. Okay. So yeah, anyway.
So I would say, like, even like, I didn't even experience like racial tension or any of
it was more economic.
It was the space came with economics. Like,
yeah.
And I was poor, you know, we were very poor growing up, comparatively to everyone around us.
Yeah.
And there was like money for me, at least back there, like there was a lot of places where I felt shame when it came to money.
Mm. Sure.
One of the like, man, I remember this to the T. I remember going on a trip with my school, and we were going to San Francisco and Sacramento, and we needed about $75 a piece, both my brother and I, and my mom didn't have the money. And so we asked her dad, and our dad was kind of flaky, didn't show up. And so I remember, like, literally on the bus waiting for him to come give us money. And well, everybody around us had, you know, so much cash. It wasn't even a thing. And he never showed up. My mom had to run to the bank. She got like $60 in cash and was like, split this between y'all.
Oh, no.
And so we're on this trip and it's like, we have nothing.
Mm.
And I remember feeling the shame of having to wait on this bus for my dad to show up.
Oh, my goodness.
The realization that we now have to be very concerned with, you know, what we spend on this trip. And that most people around us didn't experience what we experienced. Yeah. And so, like, part of the messaging that I felt was, it's not okay to live on scarcity, right? It's shameful, it's embarrassing. And so, like, I struggled for a really long time. Like, my wife could tell you, anytime, you know, I'd go to a theme park or anything, I wanted to experience all of it, because my experience growing up was, we're going to the fair, but we're bringing our own sandwiches.
Yeah.
And the shame that I would experience, you know, with that.
Yeah.
And so, man, I really struggled for a long time with scarcity, feeling like I don't want to feel that ever again.
For sure.
I don't want to feel ashamed of not having money. I don't want to feel a scarcity of not having money. Mm. And yeah, it was just really, really hard.
Absolutely.
And so, like, even your message, man, I'm Liv and I were processing, cause she's got a similar kind of, we were both very poor and very affluent place. And recognized how poor we were.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think most of our life have tried to change that for our kids, but also not wanting to go to this other extreme of now it becomes an idol, now it becomes mining. Mm. So, yeah. And again, this is not super polished, because money for us has been this ongoing conversation of, what does it look like in our life? How do we not feel like it's an idol, and how do I not feel the shame and scarcity mindset, you know, and not really knowing where we fit in all that. So,
I mean, Rob, you so perfectly illustrate. No, I mean,
he does.
I mean, this doesn't go away. It's not like you have, you know, some epiphany and then poof, you're just have this great relationship and healthy relationship with money. It is a lifelong, ongoing area of discipleship that it carries over so much from when we were, you know, when we're kids.
Yeah.
Kevin, how, I mean, what was your experience like? How did that translate then into your adultness?
In my adultness?
Yeah. I mean, so somebody who was a pastor,
yeah.
You had to talk about it.
Yeah.
But what were some of the early...
Money was not talked about in my house.
Okay.
It wasn't part of the conversation unless we had to ask for money.
Yeah.
We often tried to navigate getting an allowance, never got an allowance. Mm. So it was like, if you need money, you ask me for it. Mm. You just do your chores because you're part of this clan and this part of living here. Okay. So... we were basically taught, get a job as soon as you can. So I had a paper out from the time I was 12, and I made my own money. So yeah. So I didn't have to ask, because mm-hmm. it was, you were discouraged to ask. Mm. It was not, hey, come to me.
Right. I'm here. I'm full of blessing.
Right.
I want to bless you.
I want to give you some money.
Yeah.
So it turned into more of a, okay, keep what you kill,
yeah.
Right? I don't remember what movie that's.
Oh,
from.
Dude, that's. Are you kidding me? That's Riddick.
Oh yes, that's it. Yes.
You keep what you kill. It was
that's
the
right.
second Riddick
yeah,
movie.
It was yes.
so great. Kevin,
I'm
of
sorry.
All the movie
yes.
quotes, you pull
that.
Chronicles of Riddick out. Oh my goodness!
Is that
I'm
even
so
a good
impressed.
Movie?
Yes,
oh, yes.
It's a great movie.
Yes, yes.
Is that Vin Diesel?
Sorry. Yes, yes, it's Vin Diesel.
I've never seen that poster and never.
Yes, and,
yeah.
and
anyway,
yes, that's such a great.
So I grew up
good
with that
job,
mentality.
Kevin.
I also grew up with the confusion of generosity that would take place, mm. and what I mean by that is my dad was a very generous person with me. Hmm. With no, that didn't sound right. It with. Example, we would at church, I don't know what he gave or didn't give. I assumed he would, that part of it was never discussed. Mm-hmm. But somebody's in need in church. Mm-hmm. My dad would say, hey, I have some sons and they can come over and help you with that.
So he was generous with,
with
you.
Right. Yes. That's what yes. I mean by that. Yeah. So
totally.
We moved from this little town up in Minnesota move to a place where we didn't have to cut wood. Cutting wood was just part of our life.
Yeah.
And we had
Robert, it was cut cheese.
We had so we heated our house with wood. We sell our house and we have cords and cords and cords of cut wood.
Yeah.
And my dad stands up on a Sunday morning, church of about 150 people, says, hey, we have a bunch of wood. If you need some wood, let me know. My boys will deliver it. We spent the summer. And he didn't. Yeah. Not a dime.
No, of course.
That was generous.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's this like confusing generosity with this you keep what you kill mentality,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I bring that into adulthood. I actually bring that into college, into my very being. I've worked since I was 12.
Yeah.
So, and I was kind of set loose when I was 17. We won't get into that story. Turn 18, go to college. And I end up, okay, I got to pay for college. I got to do all this stuff.
You were running like business scams.
Yep.
Not scams
I was.
And illegal.
I know. No,
but,
no, no.
But,
waste. I was making money off all the college students.
Yes,
oh, yes,
yes.
No doubt.
Yes.
And,
yes,
it,
yes.
and it got me through college.
Amen.
And came out of college doing all right.
Yeah.
But what was the hard part for me was being generous with my money.
Mm-hmm.
I would help people with their cars. I would yeah. help people out, but if it's my money, I'm keeping it. Huh. You don't, I, that
you keep
part,
what you kill.
That's right. So there was a, and I would help people out like, you know, somebody, but I would,
yeah. yeah,
I got taken advantage of by my brothers. I loaned them money. They wouldn't pay me back. I learned early on, like, nope. So I,
yeah.
So that was the hardest thing for me to break as I, with my relationship with money
mm-hmm.
was I had a hard time giving. I've learned that. I've learned how to be generous and open-handed with my money, but, it was hard lessons.
Yeah.
One of the things that I would say learned from family growing up, and specifically my dad, was he's always had money. Always.
And he didn't share it.
And he never shared it.
Ugh.
And so what it translated to in my relationship with God was, my father is not generous, which means
right.
God
or
is not
generous. Or he's generous with other people.
Which, and that's another thing that, that's a totally different conversation and topic, because I would experience, I remember like being 16, having no car. My dad had like four and like begging him for his like 96 Honda and he wouldn't do it. And then he gave it to his best friend. And I was like,
That's the weird generous thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Same thing. He's generous with somebody else, but not with me.
And so I always grew up, like, I remember in college I really struggled. I was like, I struggled to believe that God was generous.
Yeah.
That God was a generous God, that God cared for me in all the ways that he cared, and with things like money.
Yeah.
I just, I learned to not depend on God financially.
Yes.
For a long time.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Which never worked.
Totally makes sense.
Right.
And just felt like, yeah, I trust you in a lot of things, but I don't trust you with that, because you're not going to, you're not going to be generous. You're not going to show up. You're not going to,
you're not like going to give me what I asked for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here on the bus waiting for you to show up.
Yeah. Right.
You don't show up.
Right.
And there were some pretty big moments where God was like, like looking back, I see his generosity even more and continue to see his generosity. Mm-hmm. But like that was not taught to me. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I've had to learn to be generous and not do the same thing. Cause like, not only did my dad do that, his dad did that to him. And so there's this generational kind of thing of like, and again, my grandfather, who I've not ever met, my dad would say he's generous with all of his, nieces, nephews, but not his son.
Right.
And I'm going, do you see?
Nope.
Do you see this? You know?
Yeah.
And so it's part of the practice for me is like, how do I be generous, not only with time, but with things like money and I've learned that there's such a beauty and a joy to it. Like, there's something about generosity that is beneficial for the giver. You know, not even just like in an ego way, like it's a blessing to me to give.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So it's just, it's relearning those things and understanding that, like, man, the way I grew up, the way I've experienced life is not necessarily the way I need to experience life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but it's such a hard thing, man.
How about you? What was your relationship with money?
And I had great question. I had, so my parents, my dad was a cop. And my mom was a social worker. They divorced when I was 9. My mom left with only a sewing kit and some pans. And so she lived in just absolute poorness.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, he paid child support, but very lower middle class, kind of, I came to realize, but great. I really became aware of money when my mom remarried a man who was very wealthy. And then I saw my dad just be sort of eaten alive with sort of jealousy and envy and bitterness. And so I learned how to kind of stand in the middle, because they had joint custody of us. I would spend Monday at mom's house, Tuesday, Wednesday at dad's house, Thursday at mom's, Friday at mom's, Saturday until 6 at mom's, and then back to dad's.
Dang.
And so I just learned how to
keep a schedule, apparently.
Keep a schedule, pack. Yep. I learned how to
lots
pack.
Of skills.
But one of the skills was managing the disparity.
Sure.
By never sharing with my dad what life was like with my stepdad.
Yeah.
And so I saw my dad, he was a big tither. He came from that generation where 10% to the church always, no matter what.
Right.
And I saw my stepdad, who I don't think held that same value, but would take us on 3-week
vacations.
Well, RV trips.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
And so for me, money was this point of awful. It was this tension in relationship, and I sort of saw what it did to my dad, and then kind of like you, Rob, at 16, then I realized, okay, so my dad didn't have a lot of money, Mm-hmm. And so our house wasn't all that, particularly now that we're going to this big place.
Right.
And so I don't know if arrogance is the right word, but I became somebody who wanted the nice things. Mm. Now that I'd been kind of woken up to them.
Sure. Once you get exposed.
Yeah.
Right.
So I became, judgmental and, about the way my dad did or didn't handle finances and how junky our house was or whatever else.
Yeah.
You know, and that was all, I didn't realize that was what happening, but looking back, I can realize it. So it was a big deal for me to step into a very low paying youth pastor job. That's where I'm going to test. And have the pastor, first thing the pastor said is, okay, now you have to tithe on the $17,000 a year that you're making.
Right.
Yeah. And I kicked and screamed into that.
Yeah.
But there are stories we don't need to get into where that really began a process of setting some things free.
Yeah. And part of what I didn't realize, and you alluded to this a little while ago, is that giving does something to you spiritually.
It has spiritual power.
It has giving in terms of,
we're not talking about writing a check.
No.
A church out of duty.
No,
that's not what we're talking about.
Not at all. No. Right. There's something freeing in, doing something for someone without any strings attached.
Come on.
And without expectant of repayment, without any kind of just
straight gift.
Yeah, just straight out. This is because I learned strings attached.
That's why you stopped going to your dad.
Right. Yeah. I'm done now. Right. Yeah. I got to figure this out myself.
That's right.
Yeah. And it was a struggle for me when people would ask me because what do I do with that?
Right.
Because that's not how it works.
Yeah.
You know, there's a, so. Yeah.
They're not killing.
Right.
But they're wanting to keep.
Yeah. Right. And I killed, I keep. Right.
Right.
So that's mining.
Yeah.
That is the essence of mining. That's mine.
Yeah.
And that's if right. I want to, I'll help you. If I don't want to, see, I became the judge of who was worthy.
Come on.
I became the keeper of the gate of the resources.
That's right.
And I learned generosity when I had kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was forced generosity, but yes.
It actually broke something in me.
I love it.
Well,
you had the chance to be a father.
Yeah, in a totally different way. Right, yes. In a different way.
Yes.
And be able to, my struggle was, okay, how do I not spoil
this, I love that.
These little humans. Because that would have been my propensity. And so something in me broke at that point. And then it became, oh, this being generous piece is kind of cool.
Then it expanded from that.
Right. It adds an element of freedom to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I don't have to worry about whether somebody else deserves the gift or not.
Oh, that'll preach.
Yeah.
I think the weird part for me is the learning the beauty of generosity and just now accepting generosity when you've learned for so long to do it on your own. And that's the gift I think that I'm currently still learning.
Mm, absolutely.
Is not only, does the ways I grew up with didn't work, but even the ways that I've kind of built in my life don't work either.
Right.
And so, relearning the bad habits that I came up with to combat my
absolutely of course
yeah.
Oh yep. Makes total sense, Rob.
Yep.
Yeah, and so it's just this process of and again I think your conversation on Sunday was a great moment where we can reflect and go, okay, God, maybe I haven't had this figured out.
I don't know if this is a lifelong, I think it's a lifelong journey. Oh, good Lord. And with that
comes, that'd be a great name for a church.
It would be. And let's try that. But as you navigate this, as you're listening to this and you're hearing this, you have your own story that's attached to money, to possessions, to mining, your energy that's invested in it. And you will, if you allow God to reveal that to you, if you allow someone to speak into your life, we're not even talking about budgeting or anything else. We're just practically talking about how God puts in us a desire to be generous. We just suppress it. Mm-hmm. And we bring that to. But with that, we have another week coming up on this, and I'm looking forward to it, Mike.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, it's gonna be glorious.
You gonna bring more jeans?
Yes.
No more jeans. I mean, other than the jeans that I inherited from my parents' DNA.
All right, there it is. Well, wow. Let me put a bow on it.
Wow.
You guys, thanks for joining us on another Journey Now. Thanks, Rob, for stepping in.
Yeah,
and joining us on this and sharing your older millennial.
We appreciate having an older perspective.
Yes, it was helpful. We appreciate it.
Because as a younger guy, I really look up to.
I didn't know I was going to be attacked on this podcast.
I really look up to older role models.
That Journey was a safe place. So
it is a safe place. It's safe. Wow. It's safe.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, you guys, we're out. Have a great week.
If you enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you would share a screenshot of this episode to your Instagram story and tag us at journey_TN. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcasting app.